Effect continues now on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Joy Powers. World War II is the deadliest war in human history, with more than 85 million casualties. By 1945, the world was in ruins, from London to Hiroshima. While we hear of battles and heroics by combatant soldiers, there's another group of servicemen that don't get as much attention, the people photographing what happened. America's soldier photographers used cameras instead of guns, and their work is the subject of a new book called Aftershock, The Human Toll of War. The book looks closely at 1945 and highlights a record of pictures housed at the National Archives, both stunning and brutal. Aftershock is co-authored by Richard Cahan, Mark Jacob, and Michael Williams. They join Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski by Skype from Chicago, and Cahan starts by explaining why they wanted to focus on the last year of World War II.
1945 was a really important year in human history. It was one of the most violent. It was obviously the year of the atomic bombs and the emptying of concentration camps, and we really wanted to focus on the effect of war.
Building on what Rich was saying, I feel like that 45 was a great year to pick because it was kind of a reckoning for years and years of devastation and depravity and just the horrors of war, and not only visited upon soldiers, but visited upon many civilians. More civilians were killed than soldiers in the war. And these photos really focus, a lot of them focus on just how much average people were affected.
Right. And in a world where there are such a thing as Holocaust deniers, and it's an incredibly important thing to have basically not just photographs, but evidence of what occurred.
Right. I think this book is a tremendous gift that was handed down by the U.S. Army photographers. I don't know if they knew they were handing a gift down to the future. They were basically just trying to stay alive and photograph what they were seeing. But it really is a warning of the effect of total war. We've had a lot of war since the end of World War II, but they've all been in a way limited oftentimes geographically and oftentimes limited to, they haven't affected the regular citizen living in the United States unless those people had sons or daughters fighting. And so it's an important reminder of what war is all about.
You know, I mean, we're in the longest war in U.S. history right now, and hardly anyone realizes that. And hardly anyone, I mean, if you went to the person on the street and said, hey, are we in war now? They would probably look at you funny. Yet we're still fighting in Afghanistan. We have been for nearly two decades. And so in some ways, war has been kind of normalized, and it has been it has become kind of a sideshow, something that we can avoid confronting. And this book is an attempt to get people to confront the idea of total war affecting every person on the planet.
Right. And often in depictions of war, whether it's through these photographs, films, especially when it comes to World War II, you know, there's a kind of romanticism about it when people view it nowadays because it's through perhaps inspired by a true story or it's through a movie screen. But this is getting you really close and personal, like you said, not just the front lines, but the civilian casualties, the effect of everyday people, the ruins that towns are left in. And it's thanks to photographers that we can see these images, but they're often overlooked in the wider impact of people's role in World War II, especially. So what made you want to look into the Signal Corps soldiers, and how did you come to know of them and who they were?
Well, in some ways, this is two different books. It's a book that shows photographs of the devastation of war. And in another way, it's the story of the men who took the pictures. And they were soldier photographers. Hardly any of them were professional photographers before the war started. They were trained, they were sent. And so they looked at things differently. They weren't like these seasoned news photographers who had seen dead bodies and had seen crime and had seen horrible things happen. They weren't. They were regular people who had either been drafted or had enlisted and had become photographers and had encountered, you know, just one of the most horrible stories of human history. So in a way, their whole approach to the photos was, and taking the photos was different than you'd see otherwise. And we wanted the book to be a tribute to them, because they were very brave people who went to where the action was. They were, you know, unlike some soldiers who, you know, waited and waited for months and then saw action, these photographers were always going to the sound of the gunfire.
Besides their pictures, what we were struck by was their eloquence in their words, their letters home, their stories, their newspaper that they had for the other photographers. We chose the Signal Corps because they were the only group of military photographers that were in all, basically across the world on land, taking pictures. And so you got a really good sense of the total enormity of the war. And also they were the ones that came in closest contact with civilians.
Right. There's a quote you include in this book by Bill Tease. He was part of the 116th Signal Photographic Company, saying, "There were elements I couldn't walk away from because all the elements for great photography were there, and to just walk away from it just to save my neck would have been stupid." And these men were choosing between holding a gun or holding a camera.
Yeah, and it's remarkable that how determined they were. One person was involved in 6 amphibious assaults across Europe, and they were determined to leave this record behind. And I don't know if they understood the significance of the record, because obviously it was a day-to-day struggle for existence. But it's something that's so important, you know, 6-7 decades later.
They also, like, behaved in some ways more like regular civilians than like professional photographers. Because there's an incident in the book where a guy approaches these people who have at a death camp, and he thinks that he's seeing them in what he thinks is their last 30 minutes of life. And he starts to think about taking a picture, and then he decides not to, because he just thought it would be disrespectful to take a picture of them at that point. And so you get these pictures and you get these stories in this book that are about, not about seasoned, grizzled veterans taking pictures of things they've seen many times before, but people who are encountering just this awful situation that they had never seen before, and almost no people on earth had ever seen before.
And interestingly, Audrey, we really tracked down and we followed these people so that we understood what happened in their lives after the war. And very few of them continued to be professional photographers. I think that they felt like they had seen the worst of what mankind could offer and had photographed the worst, and they were really ready to go on to other careers.
Right, and there is a big psychological toll that this took on them, as well as their fellow soldiers that were fighting the battles they were capturing. But to not be professional photographers and to go into that and to learn to get the shot and to risk yourself and to see the worst, how did you find their writings to be initially, or change over time, or what stuck with you the most about where their headspace was?
Well, I think their writings were probably typical of most soldiers, but like Mark said, amplified because they saw so much. And I'm surprised at how few of these photographers, these soldiers, did suffer a lot of trauma after the war. And I think partly because they had something that they had created tangibly from the war that they could almost reflect on. Even though many of them never saw the photographs they took, they knew that they had created this. And perhaps that helped them, you know, after the war.
It's just an amazing archive that's at the National Archives of these photos. And the reason we had to focus on 1945, one reason was there are just so many pictures that you just, you know, taking the whole group of photographs would be just so daunting, you'd never finish. So that's why, one of the reasons we focused. And also we just felt like it was a good indication of this, the reckoning of war, an inventory of what had occurred in the previous years.
Right. Mark, you mentioned that some of these soldiers wouldn't even see their final shots printed and see the results of that. So what was the process of these photographers out on the field? You know, they were given a standard camera, but what was the start from beginning to end of capturing that on the field to the point where you guys are now sifting through it today?
Well, most of them, almost all of them, had kind of old-fashioned press cameras. So these were big, bulky, cumbersome, heavy cameras, very unlike the kind of cameras we use today. And so again, they even to carry them was difficult, but they would take, oh, I would say a couple of dozen shots a day when the conditions were just perfect. And then they would take that film and they would send it back, back behind the front line. And that film was oftentimes sent back to London or Paris, depending on the year, so that they would be processed there and then sent back to America. So what they were producing was both photographic images and captions. And what they also didn't realize that 75 years later, if somebody took those negatives, those beautiful negatives that were 4 inches by 5 inches, and literally, you know, scanned them in a modern day scanner, the results were something that I don't think they could have even imagined. And I think that's one of the shocking parts of this book, Aftershock, is how detailed and beautiful the work is, because these negatives love being scanned. Scanning machines love negatives. And I think that's one of the most important parts of this legacy that was left behind.
Yeah, it's just important to understand that these photos are being seen in a better way than they've ever been seen before. They're so lush, they just jump right off the page. And it's odd to use the word beautiful with pictures that show such horrible devastation, but they are beautiful in a way, just as photographs, as the art of photography. Some of these photos are just breathtaking.
So what was the process like for the both of you going through and picking the photographs you wanted to highlight in this book?
Well, we went to the National Archives in College Park, Maryland, where most of the Signal Corps photographs are stored. There's about 300,000 or 400,000 from World War II, and we estimate there was about 100,000 from 1945. And they're actually, you can see them in what's called contact prints, which is a print that's the same exact size as the negative, and so you get a good sense of what the photograph is like. And we really went through the photographs trying to touch on all the important issues of 1945, from the, you know, the Yalta Conference to concentration camps to, again, the atomic bombs and major battles. But it's not so much a book about battles. It's really a book about the after effect of battles. And once we figured out which couple hundred pictures we wanted, we were literally given the chance to take the negatives, to hold the negatives. They did give us cotton gloves, place the negatives on a scanner, and create scans. And from there, we then started the process of really contextualizing the photographs and figuring out the story behind every photograph.
And then we had to do some investigative work to figure that out. For example, the person's on the cover is PFC Jack Pulliam. He's from Pennsylvania, and it's really the perfect shot for the cover for a book called Aftershock, because the GI looks, he's young and he looks shocked and he looks exhausted. He's got this 1,000-yard stare on his face. And he had just been captured a month earlier during the Battle of the Bulge, captured by the Germans, taken back over the German lines and set to do slave labor. He escaped. And the picture shows him just as he's reaching the Allied lines after escaping and coming back to the Allied lines. And Rich tracked down his family, and they had a 19-page memoir of his?
Yeah, so we tried to find, whenever there was a subject to the photograph that we could identify or identify the photographers, we tried to contact them so they could tell the story. And this man, Jack Pulliam, his son, had a 19-page memoir about the day he was captured, which turned out to be his 20th birthday, and about his memories of that day, and also looking back at the significance of that day. So I think the book becomes very three-dimensional in a lot of ways.
Definitely. And you've picked just a few hundred of thousands of examples, and I'm sure even more that you've gone through. But what are some of the most memorable photos or written accounts that you came across that still stick out to you?
Well, for me personally, the whole project touched me, because my father was a physician and he was involved in caring for the survivors of a 6-month death march of mostly Jewish women that ended in Czechoslovakia in a barn. And we were able to find photographs from the day that these women were found and from the days as they were being treated. And I also found a photograph of my father actually treating them. We didn't put that photograph in the book, but obviously the whole story hit home very closely to me.
Right. And I mean, there are a lot of stories that we found from the pictures that may not have been on the backs of the pictures, may not have been in the captions, because, you know, these guys were writing these captions very fast and on the run. And sometimes they were not accurate, or sometimes they, you know, they just were had scant information that we had to, you know, fill in. We did track down, there's one of the pictures that's really quite a striking picture, shows a slave laborer angrily pointing at a SS guard after a camp's been liberated. And he's pointing out the guard as if to say, this is the guy who did all this brutality. And it's a fairly prominent picture. And we were able to track down the photographer. And after he died, his widow liked to tell the story and told the story to a local newspaper about how, the fact that the photographer was always disappointed in that photograph, even though it was a great photo, because the way that these old-time cameras work, these speed graphic cameras, you had two plates that you could put in there with negatives, and you took the two pictures, and then you had to replace the plates. And he took this great photo, and then he had to replace the plates. And as he was replacing the plates, the slave laborer went out and hauled off and punched the SS guard in the face. And that was the picture that he never got, that he always regretted never getting.
Well, all of them are certainly very powerful, and it's an incredible collection. And you guys did great work framing all of this together.
Thank you, Audrey.
Appreciate it.
Richard Cahan and Mark Jacob, along with Michael Williams, are the co-authors of Aftershock, The Human Toll of War. They joined Lake Effect's Audrey Nowakowski via Skype from Chicago, and Cahan will be at Concordia University on this coming Tuesday for a book signing and talk about Aftershock.